way back when we didn't have to think. Come on in, don't be a dink. The boys on the farm
didn't mean any harm.
On the banks of Chub Creek.
No, that's not very catchy. It's a little too rural, too. I don't think anybody will really like that one. No, it's got to be something else, something special. Too West Coast for my liking. That doesn't really fit the show. Come on, come on, come on. There's got to be something. Okay, we're getting a little closer, but fuck it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stick to that old Kerouac laugh and the heartbeat and the whole bit. And if anybody's got a better one, send it in. It's the new season. This is what you get. And if I haven't already done this, welcome to the new season of the Dicks and Janes podcast. I don't know where this particular clip is going to end up, somewhere in the middle, I guess. Because I always do everything back-assward. So if you're a regular listener, you know what to expect. And if you're a new listener, welcome. And give this a try. And if it's not quite to your taste, then fuck off. I say that with the best of intentions, because I don't want you to waste your time, and I don't want to waste my time talking to people who really don't want to listen. It's that kind of thing. You know, I think this is a wonder of podcasting, that there's something for everyone, and it's up to you, the listener, to go out there and find what you like and stick with it a bit, you know, give it a try. So if it's your first time, bear with me a couple more minutes, you know. Be forewarned, I do use bad language, and I sometimes get cranky, and I'm kind of old and, you know, get miserable at times, but hey, I'm a free spirit, and I always look for the bright side of things. So sometimes that actually makes people feel good. So if I'm down, I might bring you down just for a little while, and then like the Moody Blues, I'm going to bring you right back up there. Okay? So this is September, my favorite season, and damn it, I don't have that free feeling I usually have in the fall. So often in the fall, I associate it with being in university when you got your nice new clothes on, new pair of jeans, or nice shirt, corduroy jacket later in the season, and a lot of free time to pore over those new books and just do stuff that's kind of fun. Explore Montreal, which I used to, and wherever I've gone to school, Toronto, Ottawa. But I'm not a student, I'm working. I'm working like a slave. Not quite that bad, but you know what I mean. I'm in the machine and I want out. And I just can't afford to get out right now. I'm teaching something I do, something I usually like to do, because at least it's person to person, and at least you can actually be helping people, and you're dealing with something real, and it's a little bit dynamic, and it's a little different every day, so as far as jobs go, except for the shitty wage and no benefits and crappy location, it's not bad. But I am still looking for a way out. This is what I've got left of a lunch hour, and I just thought I'd come down and say hello. I just kind of had to escape the box. Classrooms literally are little boxes. You've only got 3 students at a time, which is okay. But there's almost no downtime between the marking and writing reports and teaching and all the stuff you gotta do. and all the extras that kind of pile on you to see if you're up to their managerial type, you know? And for a while, that's what I was busting my ass for, and I've kind of given up on that. I got passed over recently anyway, and now I'm thinking, well, fuck that. I'm just going to do what I like doing, that's teaching, and if I want to make big bucks, well, it's up to me to get the hell out of here and start doing something on my own again. So what kind of an introduction was that, eh? I don't know. Whining a bit. I've been very cognizant of the fact, if that's the right word, that other podcasters really don't talk about their jobs all that much. They kind of compartmentalize. And I'm all over the place because if you listen to any of my summer podcasts, you'll know that I travel with students from Japan. I have a wonderful time doing that. Pardon the airplanes going overhead. I'm right near the airport in Toronto. And where was I before that plane flew over? Talking about my job, yeah, like other people sort of keep it separate and keep their private life separate. There's a few areas that I haven't touched on. One is my marriage, not very much anyway. The other is my family, you know, my deceased parents, my brother, my sister. And I don't know if I'll visit any of those topics. I do talk about my children, who I've named Chuck and Jerry. Chuck being 14, Jerry 16. Got a few more stories in them, so if that's the kind of thing that sometimes interests, I'm pretty frank about it. I mean, basically, I talk about what a shitty father I am and how I'd like to do a lot better. But I always learn lessons from it, and the kids teach me a lot, so that's a topic that we get on. Marriage only indirectly, like when my wife cleans up and I can't find anything, you know, and how pissed off I get, and then feel really shitty because she's right anyway, and if I wasn't such so disorganized, she wouldn't have to pick up after me, etc., etc. And how sometimes I'm just like a dog, you know, smelling around where I shouldn't be and pissing here and there and just wanting to be a little more carefree, but also trying to fit in, you know. So I feel I've got a bit of a leash on me and I really want to be free, and I don't know if that's my lot in life or maybe it's just this period of time with teenage sons in school. I gotta earn money. I gotta look after them. I got responsibilities. I can't be thinking about all my youthful years in British Columbia where I just went the hell wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted, like Barnacle Bill right now, who's still single, left somebody behind to babysit his cats, and he's off somewhere in the Kootenays in the interior of British Columbia where he and I used to be camping buddies, and we'd sit around campfires and talk about women and the perfect ass, and our paths diverged. I went off to Japan and ended up getting married, and Barnacle Bill stayed single, bought a condo in the east end of Vancouver, and, you know, there's attractions to both lives. I don't envy him, he doesn't envy me, and that's good. But they sure are different paths. And anyway, right now he's out there camping and I sure as hell envy him and wish to hell I had won the lottery and I could just jump on a plane and surprise him at some campsite and show up with some champagne and good beer and say, hey man, what's cooking? But I'm not, because what's cooking now is it fucking time for me to get back to work. So listen, this was great. It's good talking to you. It's good. It's a new fucking season on the Dicks and Janes podcast. We're off. We fucking started. This is it, boys and girls. I've been waiting for this. You've been waiting for this. But I got to tell you, I had a blast sneaking out those 5 shows this summer. The shows that don't count. So if you haven't heard them and you think I've been silent since May when I did number 60. No, there's actually a 61, 62, 63, 64, and 65 numbered podcast out there. This would be Dicks and Janes podcast number 66. More coming to you in just a matter of minutes. Bye-bye.
Owned a bird dog near the end of the car, scatting where the 8th concession runs down through the hills. When the dog would get the notion it was time to hit the highway, it would be turned into a test of wills. Young Zeke would hit the fence line, then move to the horizon, catch a whiff of what was lying beyond. My brother'd yell his name, bird dog made his answer plain. The next we knew, he's down the eighth and gone.
Get up and grab a handle and get ready to get gone. Best hit the trail before the Santos calls. Unleashed once more, light speed full bore. Burn down the flag station door.
I look around and see all kinds of people just like me who figure they've got both feet on the ground. Their looks are long and lean and you'll know them when you see them by the way they hang their heads and scuffle around. A big and empty stare just like a deer caught in the headlights without a clue to where the light comes from. It hits them like a train, one day the answer's pure and plain and just like Zeke they're down the eighth and gone.
Get up and grab a handle and get ready to get gone. Best hit the trail before the Santos call. Unleashed once more, light speed full bore. Run down the fly station road.
I had a spirit and a spark you couldn't touch, and I swore money never made me a slave. Now I lead a life without a hole to go to hell for, and a death row that I'll carry to my grave. Some days I'll make the window and look to the horizon and wonder whether any dreams came true. And if I ever need a smile, I'll just think about the afternoon the flight station fireball roared through.
Get up, grab a handle and get ready to get gone. Best hit the trail before the Santos come. Unleashed once more, light speed full bore. Burn down the flag station road. Get up and grab a handle and get ready to get gone. Best hit the trail before the Santos come. Unleashed once more, light speed full bore. Burn down the flag station road.
Well, hey, boys and girls, I'm back, we're back, and here we are in, not Thompson Park, nope, East Lynn Park, and this is a little park I have never been in before. I don't know if I'll ever be back, but hey, it's kind of deceiving. You see a big sign, you're walking along the Danforth, and you see a big sign, East Lynn Park, and you sort of walk through this gated area, it's surrounded by sunflowers. And you find you're just in a little shitty little wedge of a park, just big enough for a few slides for kids and a spot for dogs to shit in the grass. But hey, it's a park. There's some nice old homes across the way. And I am just back from visiting for the first time the Renaissance Cafe, which can be located at 1938 Danforth Avenue, just west of Woodbine Subway, if you happen to be in the city of Toronto, in the East End. Kind of cool. It was a free-for-all, sort of that jamboree style, you know, you just drop in with your guitar. And there were 10 guys with guitars and what looked like mandolins, and maybe even a banjo in there, playing real old country stuff. And they'd take turns, and they all seemed to know each other and sit in a circle. I sat up in the bar and enjoyed, for the first time very much, a Church Key Brewery beer called a... what was it called? Sorry. No, there's no need to swear, dude. Just because you can't remember something, you don't swear. It was a Church Key Holy Smoke Scottish Ale, and it was not bad. But I found out that on their menu they had something else called Coffee and a Smoke, and for a little bit of extra money, they would blend 12 ounces of this Porter Coffee, which is quite a good beer I've had before, done locally here, with 8 ounces of this very same Holy Smoke. So next time I go back, and I think I will be back, I'm going to have one of those, Coffee and a Smoke. Sounds good? Want to join me? It's easy to find the place. Come on down. Lots to explore in this fine city of Toronto when you're not driving that fucking 401. Yeah, my son was brought here. His best friend's mother is a poet. and comes to the same Renaissance Cafe to do for poetry recitals and stuff. And she took my son, first time for that kind of thing. And he said, "Dad, you'd really like it." And of course, I walked in, and all the guys playing guitars were all—they all looked like George Carlin, you know. They were old farts, ponytails, and but they were enjoying themselves. And I sat up at the bar and listened, and it was just one of those things where, hey, it's Saturday. It's a day off. I got to do something a little different. Got to enjoy it. And so now I'm all excited to share that with you. I got lots to say. So bear with me. First off, talking about music. You've just heard a song called Flag Station Fireball. Or was that Fire Station Flagball? Or was that, yeah, Flag Station Fireball by Terry Tufts. Now, I love that song. I've had it on a CD. I got it somewhere, I think, with a magazine or some promotion somehow, many years ago. And it's always just picked my spirits up, made me feel good. And I wanted to play that on my first show because I want to, you know, it's like I'm reintroducing myself to if any new members. And, you know, it's a new season. I want you to know who I am. And I love that kind of music. And that's kind of who I am. I grew up small town of Valleyfield, Quebec. I heard a lot of country on the radio. And anyway, I have this morality. It's okay for me to play clips from Stone's album. It's okay for me to play. I've played, 200, 300 songs in my podcasting career. Songs for which I don't have permissions and licenses for because I have my own system of what's right and wrong. And if somebody is local, Canadian, and making a living at their music, I'm going to ask their permission to play. So this morning, I sent an email to Terry Tufts and said, "Hey man, I really like that song, and could I play it on my podcast?" And I was really bummed because I thought, shit, if he says no or if he doesn't answer, I'm going to have to pull that song off. But he wrote back and said, "Yeah man, sure, go ahead. And give me a plug." And that's what I'm doing right now. If you are anywhere, I see he's heading off to Nova Scotia. There is a link up on my blog. Check it out for this guy. You've heard that song, you know he's good. And we may be hearing some more from him in the near future, I hope. He responded to my email, and it just made me feel great. Not good. Now I'm playing something that I've got permission to play from the artist. And it's just good stuff. And it kind of shows you where I am. And I looked at pictures and I read his blog, and I encourage you to do the same. That would be www.terrytufts. That's TUFTS.com. Check it out. Check out to see if he's playing anywhere near you. And go see this guy, man. That's what it's all about. Sharing and promoting and, you know, sharing good music. So, anyway, my morality is big people like the Stones and the Beatles. I've played lots of Beatles on this show. Hey, guys, you have got filthy rich. I'm one of those people who's bought the LPs. I've got the CDs. I've given you the money. But local people, you need a little more promotion and boosting. And my hat's off to you. Anybody who can just sort of to have the courage to make a living as a painter, as an artist, as whatever. Man, that takes guts. And I admire you for it. So, oh, that's it. I got to thank Dave of Chub Creek for permission to use his music, too. You heard that at the start of the show. These guys are good. Now, they make their money in other ways, the Chub Creek boys. And I won't even give you the link to their site. It's posted on my blog, Dixon Jane's, because I can never remember what the proper links are. But you know how to find them. And I got to thank Dave for giving me permission to use his stuff too. Now let's get away from all this stuff. I guess what I meant to say, and at the bottom of all this, you've got to have your own fucking sense of right and wrong. God damn it. Don't let fucking lawyers and politicians tell you what's right and wrong. If you've got that, you got no balls, you got no fucking business having a vote or anything else. Know what's right. Search your heart. Think about life. Experience life. Go through and decide what's right. You know, it's pouring rain. There's a red light. You're going to stand there in the fucking rain and wait because it's a red light. You walk across the street. You stupid cocksucker. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to get like that. I'm sorry. Ugh. Now, what I mean is, there was a time when eating pussy was against the law, you know? And I've been a pot smoker for 40 years. I am a little nervous about this present conservative government we have and the stance they may take. But I, up until now, I've been very proud of Canada, how tolerant we are. And it's not that I'm encouraging young people to go out and get stoned and wasted. I'm just saying, this is a big part of who I am, and you know, you just gotta make those decisions in life. You don't make decisions according to what's legal or illegal. Christ's sake, God damn it, you gotta know that. It's like, you know, going to war, you know? Okay, make the decision. Make your judgments based on what your heart tells you is right and wrong. Hopefully you've had good parents and they've taught you something. You know? You just gotta know that. So, when I play music, I play music because I'm just sharing it. It's not about bootlegging. It's not about costing anybody any money. It's about sharing a little space together and time together and opening up our hearts a little. Okay. You know, platform finished. Enough of that. That's not what I wanted to get onto at all. You know, and I'm sorry because I was going to send a link to Terry and thank him, and now he probably just thinks I'm a jerk. But Terry, I'm trying to be spontaneous. This ain't hip-hop. This is just some 58-year-old fart just talking from the top of his head, just trying to get through fucking life and knowing, I don't know, trying to find out what you do know. And a lot of people don't. And the older you get, doesn't mean the game's over, that you stop searching. You get in this fucking rut and you got all the answers. No, you keep looking. You keep doing things. That's why I went out today. That's why I'm so happy. You made me happy just fucking that exchange of email together, that it was something real and good. And I'm going to meet you. I'm going to go to one of your shows, and that's going to be a thrill. I'm going to walk up and shake your hand and say, hey, man, I'm a Scarborough dude, remember? I played your song on my podcast, Dixon James Podcast. Yeah, number 66 way back then. Opening show for the season. Thanks, man. That's cool, and I loved your set. That's what's going to happen. Maybe it'll be in Uxbridge, maybe somewhere else. I got a schedule up there, and you folks should check it out, too. Oh. Now, I guess what I really want to do here is introduce my friend. I can't even remember the name I just gave him, but you're about to hear a clip of an interview with a really good buddy of mine, a guy who's now back up in Nunavut. I caught him in Toronto when he was just coming back from China. I'm going to let the interview speak for itself, but I just want you to know there is only one fucking thing in life that really, really, really counts for a lot. No, there's a whole bunch of things, but one of the things in life that really counts for a lot is friendship. Friendship, friendship, friendship. Hang on to your friends. Nourish, grow, nurture your friends. Keep them as long as you possibly can. Cut them as much fucking slack as you can. Look for real friends. People you love and care about. People you'd open your home to, your hearts to. Because that's what counts. And that guy you're about to hear is one of my dear, dear friends from when we first met. And it's pure, it's just pure love. That's fucking great. That's just fucking great. I'm sorry. I'm swearing I'm on a rant and I seem all steamed up and I should be talking, like, gentle and kind. But, I don't know. Maybe it's just the beer got me fired up. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, folks. Maybe it's just the way I am. But, enjoy. So I'm going to stop now. Oh, my God. Did you hear that? Farting a picnic table. What do you think about that? God, I'm rude. Oh. I can't, I'm sorry, I'm just who I am, okay? I learned that. I went to fucking group therapy, folks. Believe me, I was fucked. And I went to 8 weeks of group therapy. 5 days a week. 8 hours a day. And I learned a few things. And I learned, as I was telling my dear friend over at A Different Bullet, a friend you're going to hear on this podcast very soon, because, oh yeah, 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 here we go. What I'm trying to do on this podcast, folks, is branch out a little, so you're not having to listen to just me. You're going to hear some other folks. I'm going to have conversations with people. You're going to hear other voices. It's not going to be an interview. It's not going to be me asking questions. It's not going to be anybody famous. It's just going to be other people. We're going to try and just be honest and open and caring and sharing, and we'll see how this goes. By the way, a warning, my podcast run about an hour. If you don't have an hour to give me, don't bother. If you do, set the time aside and, you know, find a spot in your week if you can. I may only do podcasts every 2 weeks now. Maybe that's probably more than enough for my listeners. Anyway, what was I saying? I was talking about group therapy and just getting your shit together and realizing how fragile we all are inside. We all are. We're just human. We've woken up with a consciousness that says, holy fuck, how did I get here? Who the hell am I? I know I was an ape, but now I'm a human and I've got to fit in with other humans somehow? This is awfully complicated. This is awfully difficult. I hope I'm up to the task, etc., etc. It ain't easy, folks. It ain't easy, and it doesn't get... Well, it does get easier. You're fucking right, it gets easier. It's easy for me. I'm about as fucking comfortable as you could get. Oh, nothing fucking bothers me anymore. I'm just comfortable. It's just life and life only. So we're going to stop there and we're going to salute to Syd Barrett, who is featured on the cover of the latest Uncut magazine. I don't recommend you buy this one, the CD. Not all that great. But Syd was the originator of Pink Floyd and was a great man, and I'm really glad that he's been acknowledged on the radio and in magazines, Uncut and Mojo and others, as a creative genius. And I thank Syd for my very early acid days, my early day pot days of sitting around listening to the Piper at the Gates of Dawn and all that stuff. So, hey, another weird spirit out there who crossed that branch from just being an ordinary human to being a musician. That takes guts. And my hat's off to you. That's it. Thanks, folks. Bye-bye. Is it rolling, Bob? That's my favorite opening line. That was from a Bob Dylan album, Blood on the the country one he did. So I'm sitting here with Tom. Good Irish name, Tom, because I won't give his real name. And Tom, well, we don't need a last name, not to be confused with Shane and Tom, but Tom, who's just back from China teaching, and Tom, my old pal from my time in Nigeria.
And time in Japan as well, for a while.
Time in Japan, yeah. You visited me there when I
one
was working.
One of the best pub crawl I ever had in Yokohama.
And resulted in my getting married.
That's right.
Your sister-in-law came by the month or so after, said, I want to go on that same pub tour, and that's when I met my wife.
Yep.
So had we not gone out and got drunk.
And that was a long inebriation. I mean, we spent, that was about 12 hours. We started at 6 and finished at 6 a.m.
The famous Yokohama pub tour.
And finished up with amazing jazz. I just remember the jazz and breakfast. And the lovely woman who sat beside us.
Well, your memory is better than mine.
I can still remember her. Yeah. Yep. So
I first met Tom here in... Oh, no, in Toronto. It was before Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's right. Because
1980.
Kuso put us through a training program where you had to... do all kinds of initiation, orientation, just to get you ready for your time in Africa when we were going over. And this guy, Tom, was a madman already at the time. I mean, you had more energy
still.
Than everybody there. Still do, which is very surprising. Total mystery to me, like an overcharged battery.
Drinking coffee.
Keeps
high
you going.
Powered.
Well, that's not
right
what
now.
Keeps you going, though,
no.
Because you can do the same on beer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the liquid is.
Yeah.
And anyway, met Tom at that gathering. By popular choice, he was voted the sort of the director, manager, whatever, of our group activity there.
We were the ones that had no money. We had nothing much, and we had to figure out how to get out of our room, how to get going with some food, money, and all that.
Basically, it was about sharing resources. It was called SimSoc, Simulated Society. And it was a kind of thing Kusa did actually a good job of in those days of teaching people.
But we were the mature ones in the group, age-wise only.
Older ones,
yeah.
And then when we got to Ottawa, we met up with a third fellow, which is, he's been on this podcast, by the way, and he is known as, what is his name?
Can't remember. He sends me music all the time. I've got another pseudonym for him.
Yeah.
No, he's got a real name. Oh, he'll be insulted because he'll be listening to this.
Uh-oh.
Anyway,
I'm gonna have to listen to it as well and see.
Well, you will. I've sent you a few links, but Tom is one of these people who doesn't quite understand the internet yet.
Technology. My son's helped me out.
He puts all his photos and everything up, but he hasn't yet listened to one of my podcasts. I don't know how many times I've told him to and sent the links and told him how, but. Most of my friends, most of the old Dixon James readers, of which Tom was one of the originals.
But I actually got a few things written in there,
yeah. Anyway, we're just meeting in passing. He's off the airport, I'm here with my tours. And I thought this would be a good practice session, because it doesn't matter if I trash it, for my upcoming fall podcast when I start interviewing more people about the meaning of life. So this is sort of a dry run.
Yeah, the meaning of life.
So you've just come back from China. You were there, what, about a year?
11 months.
11 months,
yep.
And so on. Did you find any other clues there to help you figure out what this is all about? Or are you no further ahead than you ever were?
Well, what I did do is I picked up an hairdo, which is, I think I got the right name.
A hairdo?
Hairdo. It's a sort of like a violin with two strings. The bow is connected.
Right.
You can't take it. I can't remember the name of it, but that's going to lead me to something. Either I'll get ticked off, I can't play it and smash it, or else it's going to lead me to another sort of level of meaning of life.
Okay, so this is like George Harrison.
Well, I keep on starting with Monty Python all the time, and I can't get past Monty Python at times. So
then there's another podcast you'll have to watch. I think you'd like. There's a couple of crazy ones, but one in particular, whose name forgets me again, the Jim Dupree Show. It's a video podcast, so he actually does a video, but he works on things, and it's a little bit Shades of Monty Python there, which is being in reruns now, and I'm trying to get my children to watch it, trying to get number one son. Anyway.
But
humor has got you through, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, but I do find at times, that part of my life is sort of like Monty Python. Not the part where they're on the cross, the life of Brian or anything like that, but more the silliness, yeah. And I teach school. I do English and that. Over in China, I was doing English. And my students were very uptight. They're very concerned about exams and tests and all of that. And I waltzed in there and I said, you know, the hell with it. I mean, you got to relax. You've got to enjoy your time. I said, I'm only going to be here for a year. I love teaching, and I love students who love to have fun. And so I did my utmost to relax them, to goof around. Took them to the beach and let them throw sand at me and throw me around. I used to walk into things. Actually, I wore a tie every single day of the year. I was the only person on staff, the only person in the whole place. And I wore different ties all the time.
Now, was this a pile of ties. High school or private school?
It was... I mean, it's sort of a private school run by...
don't have to give the names or anything.
No,
here.
Run by a chap, who was making money from it.
And normally when you're not doing that, like in the fall, you're going back to Nunavut, where you've been for many years, right?
Yep. Teaching again.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And just a couple more years and that'll be it. But my main thing is, I don't know if I'm an excellent teacher, but I'm an energetic and enthusiastic one who is very positive, and I love... reading poetry and having students do drama and that, so I found my Chinese students were phenomenal. You know,
well, nobody's fired you yet. I mean, you managed to hang on to jobs for a long time.
Some of the stuff I did over there, kind of risky, because I dealt with censorship and all those naughty words we shouldn't be saying and I wouldn't be able to say in a school here that I dealt with over there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and it was very interesting.
We can say them on podcasts, the naughty bits and so on.
Can I really?
There's no limits to the podcast. It's rather a nice thing about it.
Well,
so.
You know, I started off by just coming in and I said to the students, you know, I had all these signs and things and I started saying, this idea of F, blank, blank, K, off. And then I started...
it's an odd thing to teach them right off the bat.
But then I started putting in more and filling in more, and then I went to a higher and higher level until I actually started yelling at them, directly, just to say that I wanted them, how do they feel when I said...
Fuck off.
And and then I made it very personal. And then I had nudes, male nudes, female nudes, pictures and all that sort of thing, and...
This is unusual,
Yeah, but it was interesting because I had three different classes, so I was experimenting with it to see how it would work each time. And so I altered and changed it a bit, but the main idea was, where's our threshold? Where do we get to the point where we say, I don't want to hear that, or that's obscene, or that's whatever?
And this was not part of the curriculum or anything else. This is something you felt like you were going to get out there and do.
Yeah, because I was doing Catcher in the Rye, and I loved having my students read out loud some of the parts again where he finds, you know, fuck off on the walls all over. Yeah. And they were reading it, and they put gusto into it, you know?
Now, was that prescribed reading? Was that
over there at grade 12, yeah. It was. Now, I don't even know if we have it in Canada's curriculum anywhere. Catching the Rye, but I read
book,
that.
That's the one book that turned me into an adult.
Yeah, so, and I read that 35, 40... 40 years, over 40 years ago, and enjoyed it. I read it.
Same for me.
And loved it again.
63.
Loved it.
That's
you know,
that's
you sort of figure that Holden Caulfield, you know, there's, I think there's a little bit of Holden Caulfield in all of us.
I think so. Yeah. It's the one book that touched. I wonder how it resonates today, but it certainly was the one book that just sort of made that bridge for me from childhood to, I guess, teenagehood. I read it when I was 13, and my brother had it, never read a book.
And read it, and
I thought, I got to get a hold of that. My brother's reading; it's got to be good. Well, I've never forgotten Holden Caulfield. Yeah, he remains part of me.
Yeah, we touched on that. We touched on my students wanted to talk about things, and we talked a lot about homophobia, sexism.
Now, is this international students, or are they all Chinese?
Mostly, but 85% Chinese, maybe about 10% Korean, 5% Japanese, possibly a few others. So we had an Israeli in there, East European, a Russian. But the nice thing is that we could talk about most anything. And there I am, I've got these young girls, 16, 17 years old, saying to me in the class, you know, how do I know if I'm straight or if I'm, no, how do I know if I'm heterosexual or lesbian, you know? Hmm. And they were curious, they wanted to know answers. And you know, when you get kids asking questions straightforward like that, then you answer them the best you can. We had a lot of discussion.
Create that kind of atmosphere. A lot of teachers just simply don't do that.
Well, I thought, because I do drama, and the second day I was there, I had my students dramatizing gay relationships and all this. I mean, I was amazed how fast they took on. We're dealing with sexism, ageism, because I'm old, I wanted them to deal with ageism.
You really threw yourself into this.
Oh, God,
And on top of that, you traveled all over, you've posted a million photos for everybody to see, you've just...
You are
the Duracell battery that just does not run down.
And just 7,000.
And it's got to be your genetic makeup. You had good Irish parents who lived close to their 90s.
Well, my mother died younger, but cancer. Yeah. Lung cancer, yeah. My dad was a walker.
Time. Yeah. I met both of them, wonderful parents, and I always think Tom's positive disposition is just something that was just passed on from your folk, whatever. But mind you,
well,
you're talking earlier, it doesn't always
work
that way. You're an oddball.
Well, going back to just the meaning of life, I mean, just the idea that there I was over there. Now, what was the point of me being over there? To learn about China, Chinese, to instruct them. Basically, the only topics I really didn't touch on very much were Taiwan and the relationship with China. Didn't say anything negative about Chairman Mao, because I don't know enough about him. And didn't say anything about anything negative about the relationship between Tibet and Beijing. And right now, they've got the rail. They've got the rail that just went right through. And I was in southern China, very close to the Tibetan Highlands. And so I'm going to go back. I want to go back and see that, do some hiking. It was an experience where, again, I was finding out more things about myself and coming up with more questions. And one of the things my students asked at the beginning, after about 2 months with me, they said, Mr. Doherty, Tom, what's
a good Irish name? I don't know. Flynn?
Or
Tom Flynn?
Yeah,
like
Mr. O'Hallahan.
Okay.
Or, O'Neill. And they said, what... You're confusing us. You know all the things we're doing.
I'm not surprised.
We're not
you're probably confusing some of our listeners too.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then that's a learning experience. But they wanted answers, but they wanted to be like math. You know, 3 plus 9 plus 5 is equal to 17 or something like that.
Yeah. Everybody wants English to be like math.
Yeah. And but we dealt a lot with ethics. We dealt a lot with perspectives and how. Chinese people see something, how Canadians, how Japanese, how women see things compared to men, how adults see things differently than youth. So it was a constant sense of always opening up another layer, you know, as they talk about that onion or whatever, taking off another layer, another layer, another layer.
But this is just one little piece of your life. I mean, this is one year you're going to go back to the north and so on. You've been in the north for many years. You're in Nigeria. You've traveled. What stands out in you looking back in your life, the 58, 59 years of your life, whatever, that stands out as maybe having... I don't know, more impact stands out, shaped you in any way, or is it even childhood?
God.
Because I have the feeling this is just one more adventure, but it's not, yeah. It's not a defining moment in your life.
Well, you know, it's funny because the students, you know, I've come across so many people, whether it be up north or in China or whatever, who say, oh God, I hate it here, I hate my job, and they moan on and on and on, and I've said to people, I said, one of my defining things is wherever I am is where I want to be. So I'm very happy to
that's
be here
the
right now.
We're all reaching for.
And that sense of some sort of growth, and I can't figure it out. I mean, I don't know if I'm any more mature than I was 20 years ago. But one thing I'm very, very happy about, one thing that extended my life is years ago deciding I would never get married, I didn't want kids, and then all of a sudden meeting somebody in Africa, getting married, having kids, and then realizing, hey...
A Canadian in Africa, just to set the record straight.
And just this fact of, there I am, I've got kids, I'm getting old, but I've got kids, and
three
they like me.
Three grown kids. Yeah.
And they actually like me, and they like talking with me, they love traveling with me.
You've done a marvelous job, you're successful, and I should confess right now, a lot of my podcast is whining about how I don't get no respect at all. My kids don't seem particularly fond of me, and... you know, not getting along all that well with anybody, and it's a tremendous loss and a mystery to me. And I don't know if it's just a stage they're going through or what, but this is what pissed me off about getting emails from you in China. Like, damn it, Tom, here he is. He's just one more success after another. It's made me feel like shit, you know. Because, well, no, seriously, you didn't intend to do that. You just are. It's surprising we're still friends. Because you have done remarkably well. Your life has been a success, and I'm looking for the answer for it. Because you're no smarter than I am. We know that.
Well,
but somehow you've pulled it all off. Well,
my sons are smarter, much smarter than I am.
They are.
It's funny, I don't have any smart relatives. They're all sort of farmers, or they turned into alcoholics and had liver, cirrhosis of liver, and things like that.
Trouble all around you, but somehow you pulled it. And so I'm thinking it's some kind of karma. It's something that I don't know whether you rolled this from your father's
I never enjoyed my teens. I was sort of shy in school. I was afraid to speak out loud and all that. I'm very shy, very afraid of girls in that, the age of 16. Mm-hmm. So my teens were not fun teens. My 20s were getting better. Started doing a lot of traveling. My 30s were phenomenal. I mean, going to joining up with CUSO and traveling, and then
a late bloomer.
My 40s were better, and my 50s are the best so far. Honest to God, I'm telling kids that, and I'm telling these young teachers who are, you know, over where I was, you know, who were trying to nail kids and say, hey, you don't know how to speak English well and all this, and there I'm going in and saying, hey, kids, you are great. You know four languages or three languages. I only know one. I'm still learning it. And here I'm, and I said to them, listen, don't think of your teens as being the highlight of your life. No. Once you get some form of security, desire, ability to learn, desire to travel and experience things, every year gets better. As long as you've got health.
Health, this is the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the people who don't have health are the ones who get depressed. I think that's a killer.
Yep.
Right there, and you're blessed. Like I say, it's just I do think it's a genetic thing that somehow you've just got what your dad did.
But I guess you know too. The thing is that, and my friend here,
yes, Scarborough dude.
Yep.
That's what you're talking to me.
We've known each other 26 years or so, I guess.
Well, 1980.
Yeah, we have been all sorts of now. Here we had Scarborough dude in.
We've been drunk on five continents together, is that right?
Yep.
I think that was the one point of pride.
We still have
Europe,
South America.
Asia, Africa.
South America. Antarctica, I don't think we're going to be able to do, but South America, I think in a few years.
Yeah.
And I mean, visiting you in Japan was one of the highlights of my life there.
Well, visiting each other in Nigeria.
Nigeria,
was,
Some of the incidents, some of the things. You know, and one of the things I always remember is we'd heard about, I guess, the attack on Reagan. That was about that time, wasn't it? But the one thing, we got together, it was Christmas Eve, and we were with a couple of other friends, and we were drinking palm wine, beer, and some other local stuff, and we heard about the assassination of John Lennon. My God, that just, it got us sad, and we reminisced an awful lot about that.
We weren't together at that time, because I know I was alone when I heard it, but it was around, it was in December, and we got together right after that.
Because I think you let us know. Maybe that was it, because you must have let us know.
I heard on the BBC, and in shortwave.
It was sort of a downer, yeah.
Very, very upsetting.
The number of batteries I went through in Nigeria to get my ghetto blaster going all the time, I guess it was eight. Eight of them, and they always wore out so quickly.
I should kneel you now as a witness, because this is a story. I'm just going to brief. I can't do it. It would have to be a visual, or we can't do it. Tom here was a witness to me entering a Volkswagen, and this is the Beetle, the bug, with the driver sitting in the front seat. I had to get into the front passenger seat, and I did it by backing up and taking a run virtually at the car. Driver's windows rolled down, and I entered full stride, ended up sliding into the passenger seat without touching the driver, the wheel, or anything else somehow. And I'm a big fellow, if you've seen me. I'm, almost, it was 6'3", 6'4". Managed to get in and just sat down as if it was the most normal thing to do. Something, I was blind drunk at the time. I could not possibly do that sober. But Tom, you will back that story up. This is a true story.
Right,
you
through.
Were sitting, you were in the back seat. Yeah. You saw the whole thing happen.
Right through, quite amazing. And we were really quite puzzled. But it did take place.
It happened. We were on our way. We had picked up a friend who had malaria. Remember poor, the other Tom, in fact, the real Tom.
Right,
was very sick of malaria, and we convinced him the only cure was to come to the bar with us and get drunk. And it did him good for a while anyway.
Well, and then his wife-to-be or whatever she was.
Yeah, his partner at the time.
She actually got quite ticked off at this, because every time I went out there, we'd always head off to the bush
bar. She was always ticked off.
Well, she was ticked off, this other Tom. What a nuisance he became once he started enjoying himself with us.
Yeah, well, we were a bad influence, I guess, on a few people.
I had a friend...
They were good times.
I had a friend in when I was living in London, England, the same thing. He his name was Filthy Bill, but his real name was Brian, Scotsman. And we used to go drinking all the time and that, and, we were in the gutter, we were all over the place. And then he got married and had a baby. I went and called at his door one day, because I hadn't seen him for a while. And his wife answered the door, looked at me, and realized who I was again, and said, Brian's not here.
And that was it.
And I never ever saw him again.
That happens. Yeah. Wives can have. Sometimes it's a good influence.
But I realized that probably she did a smart thing.
Yeah.
Because I really was affecting him, and he was affecting me, so we would build on each other.
We had a wonderful Christmas together in Togo, if you remember too. We went to Port Harcourt for one, and then I don't know where else. And then the second Christmas, we had all traveled and ended up meeting in Lomé at the same hotel.
What a blast.
And had a blast. Excellent time. Probably one of my best Christmases ever.
Yeah. Because, we shared a bed with my wife-to-be.
That was one of the nights, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Then we had the Jungle Bar. And we had the American bar for pizza.
All the frogs' legs we were eating, and the lovely ladies who made bangles and beads and things we were buying from them. And the chicken dance. That was the chicken dance. Was involved there. Yeah. We were doing a lot of
and
that.
And it was Betty Davis Eyes by...
That was the song.
Yeah. The one that went, I could never get the beat right.
You're going to destroy it.
Oh, so sorry.
Nobody's going to enjoy your version of what you can't get right.
Yeah, right.
It's been a good rolling talk. We've been at it for 21 minutes already.
We've only just started.
Well, we'll come back. This was a practice, a warm-up session. I was trying to home in on the meaning of life, and that's a question I'm going to ask everybody I talk to, but I think you've circled around it. You've made a good effort. Well, I think you did come up with this Zen answer.
Yeah.
Here now.
But the thing about meaning of life, I guess, I was raised a Catholic.
Uh-huh.
I was an altar boy. I served Mass every day of the week. On Saturdays I did funerals and weddings. Didn't get paid for funerals. Weddings got money. Was always there at church. I was a good guy, and then lost it all when I turned 15 or 16. I just started questioning and doubting, and all the stuff I saw I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I just got rather ticked off. And now I'm sort of more of a humanist than anything else. And I've seen all sorts of other religions in action. But I don't know. I was in Northern Ireland and saw the bitterness between Catholics and Protestants, and in the Basque area again, and all these other places where you see inhumanity.
Well, we're looking at the Middle East right now, and this is just the midst of the Israelis about to invade Lebanon.
Yeah, again.
It is tragic, tragic, tragic. And so yet you get people like us who are, we would never, well, mind you, we're the recipients of the freedom from our father's generation who fought World War II. And we've been spared. So we've grown up at a time of peace in Canada. And so I guess it's hard for us to really be objective about it. We were pacifists because we've been allowed that privilege.
And we learned in the 60s, well, the Beach Boy hippie trends and have sex and make love, not war. And
well, those have been themes that have come up on the Dixon James podcast many times before. That whole trend from growing up with cowboys to suddenly that transition into as the Beatles moved along. Anyway, I'm going to wind this down and give maybe some closing words, parting words to our listeners. A lot of ladies listen to this show, you know. Yeah. It's
a
wonderful thing.
Maybe, I was just thinking, like, my students in China wrote a lot of journals. Mm-hmm. A lot of things, and they asked a lot of questions. And the question they asked was, you know, what's the point of everything I'm doing? Where am I going? I'm driven by my parents, by society, by myself, mm-hmm. by the school to do well and get high marks and all that. And what are marks? What's the whole point of their existence they were sort of trying to get across? And they were throwing it at me, and it's interesting that at different times of the day or the week or during the year, you know, my answers or what I was trying to give them was different. But the main thing I was trying to get them to do is that you don't sit down and just say, okay, I've got it. I think this is the meaning of life. You keep going because it's always that step further that's going to give you a little more hint. And you're never going to get it.
No. But that's right. We might have different answers had we been drinking beer instead of coffee.
Mm. And, definitely. Well, I think you're right there. We would have definitely, yeah.
I've got to go out and face a $30 parking ticket for which I knew I had coming to me, but it's an annoyance nonetheless. But those are the things you don't sweat about in life. Yeah. It's totally meaningless. Yeah. Expensive beer.
And I think, my philosophy is somebody will say, well, geez, that's terrible what happened to you. I said, well, it's no big deal. And they say, well, why doesn't it bother you? And I say, well, listen, I'm alive. I've got my health. I've got a little bit of money. I'm not a bad-looking guy turning a little gray. I'm quite reasonable looking there.
He's a handsome looking guy. Handsome, yeah. Even for an old fart.
So Scarborough boy here. Scarborough man. Scarborough
dude.
What? Dude, yeah, dude. Yeah. What was my point? Where was I going?
You're looking for love. In all the wrong places.
Way over in China. But there was a good population there, 1.4 million. Yeah. Half whom are women in that. But
billion, maybe?
Billion, yeah. Billion, yeah. So, but, you know, God, I forgot what I was going
to
say.
That's all right, Tom. It's a good point to end, right?
Yeah,
I forget a lot of the times when I'm on here too. But we'll turn it back on if we cover.
Yeah.
Any reminders? Anybody going to help Tom out here? No.
No.
Nope. No. Nobody seems to be listening anymore.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, that's
where's this interactive nature?
That was a warm up. Okay. Well, we'll let you listen. Take care now, and we'll be back.
She'll let you take her. and she knows just what it takes to make it pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll tease you, she'll unease you, all the better just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make it pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She tease you, she'll unease you just to please you. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll expose you when she snows you.
Well, folks, looks like this is the end of the first show of our new season. Hope you enjoyed it. I had fun making it. I can't believe the damn thing's over already. I'm just getting warmed up. And I guess that means there's going to be a few more coming your way. So once more, I'd like to send out a special thanks to Terry Tufts for permission to play that song. And I think you'll be hearing more about him on future shows. I should also thank, way back on show number 32, Sarah Dell, who sings in Toronto, for a song, So Scared. Bunny Brown, for that wonderful, wonderful song, Glen Ellen Drive, which I played on both shows 53 and 54. Jonathan Colton, whose song, Shop Vac, I played on show 35. And then, while I'm at it, thanks to Roy Rogers, Jack Kerouac, and Allen Ginsberg, all these dead folks who, if they were alive, they'd surely give me permission to play their stuff on my show. Lawyers might not, but they would. And amongst the living, well, there's a few Beatles left, a couple, and played a few of their songs and love them, and thanks for helping me grow up. Van Morrison, who's still putting out great stuff, and Bob Dylan, the man, who's coming to Toronto real soon, but don't know if I'll catch this show, but anyway, all you people, and of course Dave of Chub Creek, and oh man, there's just so many great things we gotta think about and focus on, because there is just so much shit in this world that can bring anybody down. So with that, folks, I'm back home sitting on my deck, and I'm about to open a Black Jack Premium Black Lager. I think I mentioned this last time. Hang on. Come on, you bastard. Ew. Get off. There you go. Pouring that into my glass. Nothing like a good beer on a Saturday afternoon to keep a simple man like me happy. So, folks, listen. Email me, dicksnjanes, that's dicksnjanes at rogers.com. Visit the blog and just find that by doing the same damn Dicks and Janes thing, and the Google search will take you there. Cheers. Oh, that's good. Today's a black beer day. And I got some chicken wings for the boys. Of course, they're not home, but I'm just going to eat them and enjoy them all by myself out here on the deck. So, yeah, drop me a line, send in a comment, tell me how you liked the show or didn't like it, or what you'd like to see more of or less of. Probably won't listen to any of you, but I do like to hear, I do love that feedback, as we all do. Us podcasters are a needy bunch. We like to know there's folks out there listening. So wherever you're from, particularly the ladies, the knitting ladies, some of you have come over from after listening to Chub Creek, I welcome any of you. I really warmly welcome any new listener. Believe me, I got a few things to share, and I really think it's just good for all of us to get into one great big group hug, you know? That song, Kim Cairns, which we ended it with, that was the song that my good buddy, who I just chatted with prior to this, we used to hear that in Lomé, Togo, way back, I guess, around December 81, 82. Man, oh man, those are good times. I'd love to tell you more about the ladies of Togo and the Cameroons and Ghana and Nigeria, but I think we'll have to save that for another show. So, have a good week. Have a good time. Support your favorite local podcasters. Not just me, but any of the other ones you listen to. Send them a comment. They love it. And peace be with you. Bye-bye.